Fortunate Orbit. Written by Rinleaf. Read by Opalsong. Fandom Modao Zushi, or The Untamed. Relationships Meng Yao, Nie Ming Tui. And background Nie Hui Song, Jiang Cheng. Rating explicit. Also tagged for alternate universe, science fiction, secret identity, emotional support spreadsheets, accounting as flirting, derelict space stations, gratuitous references to exchanging spare parts, and Hoisong is a camboy in this, but it's only there if you squint. Part 1 of the Fortunate Orbit series.
You remind me of a former love that I once knew. And you carry little beads with you. We were old hands walking through the middle of the street. It's fine with me. I'm just taking in the scenery. You remind me of a few of my famous friends. Well, that all depends what you qualify as friends. You remind me of a few of my famous friends. Well, that all depends what you qualify as friends. Take a chance, take your shoes off, dance in the rain. I was flashing around, and the news spread all over.
I'm sure that even the cavalry know that there's a crack in my heart, and it's been leaking your name ever since we stopped fighting this fight. What I'm trying to say is, you win. It's all yours. I'm tired, and I tried. I'm tired, and I love you. Azra T. Archive. Sort by date. Sort by relevance. Sort by author. Qishan and Lan Ling to split core Qinghe territories after sect leader's death. Yufeng. The Nie family is relocating to Qinghe border territories after the head of the family was found dead following a bankruptcy announcement. Central news sources report. Prominent families, Qishan Wen and Lan Ling, continue merging Qinghe's assets into their own. Continued. Hua Jiaoxie. Yunmeng Report. The Qishan expansion. Cause for concern? Lan Ling. Jing Guangshan voiced concerns about worrying information leaked this week by human rights activists regarding sect leader Wen Rohan's latest acquisitions in Qishan space. The Lan Ling sect leader warned that this new business investment could be the start of an armament race. Continued. Jin Xinyan, the Golden Carp. Sect leaders conclude peace talks as Sunshot campaign comes to an end. Pictured. Newly elected Qishan sect leader Wen Cheng exits Golden Koi Tower on the Jin homeworld on the night of a peace agreement signed between great sects. Lan Ling. Sunshot warships and grounded troops are laying down arms in every sector following the collapse of Wen Rohan's expanding empire. Relief crews from Yunmeng and Ba Ling are ferrying soldiers to processing stations in neutral zones around the core. Continued. Xie Yuliu. CNSN.
You remind me of a former love that I once knew. And you carry little beads with you.
Loop. There are worse things. There are worse things. There are... I'm sorry.
Ayao says before he kisses him. I meant it. I do. There are worse things. Ming Tuei stares at Meng Yao as he smiles. His real smile. The one with sharp teeth and dimples and none of the subservience of a year ago. As men and women in peony-emblazoned uniforms swarm the station shuttle port. Jing Guangyao, says one of the women, hand resting on her gun belt. Ayao's smile falters. Thank you, he says, mouths. He isn't really speaking, or maybe it's Ming Tuei who can't hear him through the rushing noise in his ears, when he turns around with a formal bow. Luo Qingyang, your brother has been looking for you, the woman says. Ayao laughs a little, and it's a joyless, flat thing. I imagine he has, he says. Then, without a single glance backward, he starts walking towards the sleek, golden-silver Jin warship. Shall we?
You remind me of a former love that I once knew.
Anchor. The old fucker's dead, Hoisang says. He's poking absently at his hand terminal, feet in Ming Tuei's lap as he stretches out on the sofa. It's a soft, well-cushioned contraption Hoisang has acquired from God knows where. He had it delivered at a staggering cost and installed it in his cabin at Pride of Place in front of the terminal, and the camera that is currently covered with an embroidered scarf. Ming Tuei asked him about the couch once. Hoisang had only smiled and said, Oh, Daga, Yunmeng boys are so generous. Purses loose like you wouldn't believe.
Which old fucker?
Ming Tuei asks now, glancing up from following a lace row for the sock he's working on. Hoisang turns his screen towards him. Look! The headline says, Sect leader Jin Guangshan found dead in Jinlin Tai residential area. The text is laid over a picture of the man himself, smiling, sharp in a business suit with his hair brushed and braided in the traditional style. Ming Tuei very narrowly restrains the urge to punch the terminal out of Hoisang's hand.
Good riddance, he mutters instead, pulling another section of yarn off his skein with more force than strictly necessary.
Knit, yarn over, knit, knit, slip, slip, knit, pull.
If they ever find out who did it, I'm sending them flowers.
Holographic ones, I hope. Space-grown flowers are horrendously expensive. Hoisang says, stroking the petals of the lilacs that sit on a low desk within arm's reach. Ming Tuei gives him a look. Hoisang shrugs. Yunmeng boys, he says. I told you.
Ming Tuei rolls his eyes and knits the last stitch, slips the marker, and moves on to the next loop. Let's hope father can rest better now, he says after a pause.
Hoisang hums. I hope he gives that fucker's soul one hell of a beating, wherever they ended up. Ming Tuei nods. Hoisang picks a trumpet-shaped purple blossom off his lilacs and crushes it in his palm. Its scent is thick, cloyingly sweet. The boy came to UCR 1669321 QH with the night shuttle. This was significant only because the ID he showed Auntie Huai Fang on paperwork duty is clearly fake, and he didn't leave with the next shuttle outbound. He wandered further into the belly of the station instead, asking about work. Auntie Huai Fang reports this all to Ming Tuei through the comm right from her rickety booth, overlooking the station shuttle port in gleeful, crackling bursts.
Oh,
she says,
And Ming Chui turns the comm output volume down another notch.
Oh, he's going up to Zongtui now. What a chap. What a delightful boy. Do you think he knows that the next core-bound shuttle doesn't leave until 2 weeks from now?
If you're that bored, there's always filing to do, Ming Chui says. Auntie Huai Feng snorts.
Or I can live comment the arrival of dimpled twink Wang Yao to you personally, which is obviously the most exciting thing that has happened here all month, apart from the fuel leak on level 4 and the water tank failure. And that thing with the shuttle and the dude from Yunmeng, that was entertaining.
I have actual work to do, you know, Ming Chui grumbles. He pulls himself up toward portside via a series of makeshift handholds and opens another service hatch. Gravity is out in the Deck 5 storage cells again, and Ming Chui is still the best when it comes to coaxing salvaged tech into submission. He pokes a switch, hisses, then pokes it again. A wire sparks. Shit, Ming Chui mutters. Auntie Huai Feng snorts.
That's what you get for using Moling switches,
she says. Ming Chui switches the angle, pushes the button inward, then to the right. The thing finally pops out of its socket, and Ming Chui pulls it out to hover just within his line of sight.
Excuse me,
he hears faintly through the comm. It's the voice of a young man. The accent is nondescript, a little too flat. Perhaps core-educated, Ming Chui thinks. Huaisong sounds the same when he talks to his various off-station friends and clients and other hangabouts. Ming Chui pulls a cable out of its socket, peels the plastic cover off the metal insides, and begins straightening the cords to fit the new cable extender.
That gentleman over there said I should ask you about lodgings,
says the young man. Auntie Huai Feng hums and shuffles around with some flimsy. We aren't exactly teeming with hotels around these parts, but the bar has some empty rooms for rent. You know that the next shuttle doesn't leave until 2 weeks' time?
Yes, I know.
Ask him what sort of work he's looking for, Ming Chui finds himself saying. Strays are trouble. He knows. There are always a few of them every month. Down on their luck, men and women who find themselves on this half-derelict pile of space junk through one unfortunate twist of fate or the other. Some of them stick. Most of them don't. Ming Chui is trying to learn not to get attached. Auntie Huai Feng snorts.
Excuse me?
Says the young man.
Our station overlord is asking what kind of work you're looking for.
Auntie Huai Feng replies. She sounds like she's about to burst out laughing any minute. And Ming Chui rolls his eyes.
I'm an accountant,
the boy says.
But I can do many things. I was assistant mech on a Sunshot warship, and I'm a decent pilot. I work hard.
I can imagine, Auntie Huai Feng says, and Ming Chui taps his mic twice. Huaisong could use some help with the books, he says. Ask him if he's any good with salvage tech.
I lived on a derelict Wen's shuttle for a few months,
the boy replies.
I make do.
Ming Chui crimps the wires into the extender, winds the excess length into a neat little loop, and plugs the socket back in. The service hatch clicks shut. Tell him to come to my office, Auntie, he says, pulling himself around, so his feet are on the walkway before he hits grav reset. His screen flushes red, yellow, then green. It's back! Yu Liu shouts through the service corridor hatch. Thanks, boss! I'll be up in 5 minutes, Ming Chui says into his comm, then cuts the line. Huaisong will blame the dimples later. You could never resist his type, Daga. Wang Yao is short, skinny, to the point of borderline malnutrition, skittish, and damn good with numbers. Wang Yao, inexplicably, stays. When does Ming Chui begin to want him? He wishes it was harder to pinpoint. He really does. But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all. Wang Yao is leaning against Hoi Song's shoulder, 2 days after his arrival, looking over the station budget. His eyes begin to narrow 3 minutes into Hoi Song's haphazard explanation of his system, and he raises a hand to stop him a further 3 minutes later. Stop, he says. Please stop. I will have to... Oh, gods, have you ever heard about conditional formatting? Yes, Hoi Song says. It's way too much effort to waste on the spare parts budget. Wang Yao tugs on his hair and groans. Ming Chui falls a little bit in love.
Archive. Encrypted message. Enter password. Dot, dot, dot. Cousin, you can move the package now. Follow the instructions I left.
Ming Chui loves his aunties dearly. He does. Auntie Sue, Xia, Xiu, and Hoi Feng have been his mother's greatest friends, have brought him and Hoi Song up between them and Nie Jia Ying, have been indispensable to their lives ever since the exile. But sometimes, Ming Chui wishes Auntie Hoi Feng never opened her mouth. It's been quiet this week, she says over dinner one night, stuffing her vat meat into goopy, barely thawed spinach leaves, to the dismay of Auntie Xia. Auntie Xiu squawks. Auntie Sui giggles. The communal table dissolves into noise like it always does, and Ming Chui looks helplessly over at Wang Yao, who is huddled on the very end of the bench, eating as fast as humanly possible. They share a look. Ming Chui smiles, and Wang Yao ducks his head back into shadow. Not 5 minutes later, the kitchen door swings dramatically open, and Hoi Song dances in, wearing nothing but lacy underwear and a semi-transparent robe. Yunmeng Boy is coming to visit tomorrow, he announces to the room. This is a disaster! About time, Zong Tui hollers above the ensuing chaos. Ming Chui considers dragging his brother back into his quarters and dressing him up himself. What did I say about walking outside your cabin like that? Wang Yao looks up sharply. Ming Chui groans and unzips his own jacket to get to the woolen sweater underneath. Hoi Song wails when Ming Chui pulls it over his head. Do you want to catch pneumonia and die, Hoi Song?
Daga, you don't understand!
Hoi Song cries, swooning into Ming Chui's arms. His feet are icy cold. Ming Chui sighs and pushes Hoi Song down until he sits and drapes his jacket over his legs. I know, this is an emergency, he grumbles, tucking the ends under Hoi Song's feet. And who's gonna get you tea and soup the next time you catch a cold, your Yunmeng boy?
It's a bit of a journey, Hoi Song says thoughtfully,
then buries his face in his hands again.
Daga, what am I going to do? Host him for 2 entire days?
What's he coming here for anyway? Ming Chui asks, pulling a tray in front of Hoi Song. Hoi Song picks up the chopsticks and stuffs a dumpling in his mouth.
To check on me? He says, mouthful. I'm looking kind of down, apparently, and he's worried about the asteroid season. I don't know, something about leftover construction things from the Lotus Pier rebuilding or whatever came up.
He is hand-delivering spare construction parts all the way from Yunmeng to here? Ming Chui sits down. He catches Wang Yao looking at them and tries to smile. But the boy yanks his gaze back onto his tray before Ming Chui can do so much as shrug.
Apparently, Hoi Song says, I don't have a single nice thing to wear.
Ming Chui sighs. You want to check my mother's cash again?
Hoisang straightens, swallows whatever is in his mouth, and beams at him.
You'd let me?
What am I supposed to do with them? Wear them myself?
Hoisang puts his chopsticks down and bites his bottom lip before handing Ming Chui's jacket back and bouncing off the bench.
I'll go look right now. I know the lock combination anyway. Yes, I will put pants on first. No, I will not catch pneumonia, I promise. Thanks, Daga.
You think he will get married soon, then? Asks Auntie Sia. Yunmeng boy sounds like quite a catch. Auntie, please.
Ming Chui says. Auntie Siu leans over her sister and nudges him in the shoulder.
Ah Song's prospects would improve a lot if you got married first, she says with a grin.
Ming Chui considers skipping dinner, or perhaps jumping out of the nearest airlock.
Lots of eligible young people out there, you know. Even if you couldn't make it for 5 minutes in elegant company, Auntie Huifeng adds.
Hey,
Ming Chui protests, looking up from his soup. A drop of it lands on his chin, and he wipes it off with his hand.
You have a soup mustache, boss,
Zongtui says. Yu Liu hands him a handkerchief. It's monogrammed, she says. Basically a family heirloom.
Only the best for our fearless leader, Auntie Siu hollers, and the table erupts into chaos once again.
Ming Chui sighs and watches with a helpless smile as the aunties clutch each other, laughing. Auntie Huifeng claps Auntie Sui on the back when she starts to cough, and Zongtui passes her a container of water. She drinks, then waves him off. When his eyes find him, Wang Yao is looking at Ming Chui. Wang Yao is looking at Ming Chui with something like consideration, and he smiles. It is worse, somehow, than the efforts of all the aunties at the table combined, and Ming Chui finds himself flushing up to his hairline like some teenage boy on his first date. Wang Yao has dimples when he smiles, and his eyes are the warmest shade of brown.
That's enough, auntie,
Ming Chui exclaims hoarsely. Zongtui grins at him, and Ming Chui gives him the sternest glare he can imagine.
See?
Nie Jiaying looks up from the corner she's occupying.
All this nagging would finally stop if only you knuckled down and got yourself that mail order bride your brother has been threatening you with for years.
Wang Yao chokes on his soup. Zongtui offers him the water bottle too, which Wang Yao accepts between two coughing fits and a wheezing apology. Ming Chui watches them, his people's laughing faces under the sharp station lights, and thinks,
Father would be proud, maybe.
Yunmeng boy arrives the next day in a state-of-the-art, shiny cutter. Wang Yao goes green at the sight of it.
Do I know you from somewhere?
Yunmeng boy asks, when he catches sight of him, half obscured by Ming Chui's considerable width. Wang Yao bows.
I doubt it, young master, he says, polite and cultured like always,
and Yunmeng boy moves on with a shrug. The air filters he unloads from the cutter are brand new. Huisong is wearing one of Madame Nie's best chongsums and doesn't stop smiling the whole day.
Jiang Cheng!
Ming Chui hears him holler outside the hydroponics lab late at night. Let's make out in the observation deck, okay? Ming Chui rolls his eyes and takes the long way back to his cabin.
See, here,
Ai Yao says, tapping the screen so the spreadsheet is shown in full view. If you replace the fuel cells in this swarm, look, I found a batch in this Yunping warehouse here. Ming Chui nods as Ai Yao pulls up another window. They look pretty beat up, I know, but it's actually stripped lawn tech. A friend gave me a tip. So if you replace the fuel cells in that swarm, that saves you a few thousand credits by the end of next lunar,
If nothing unexpected comes up, you can save enough so you can replace the solar panels for hydroponics.
Which means I can finally cancel the Ouyang contract.
Mingchui nods, reaching over Ayao's shoulder to scroll down the neat rows and columns of numbers that draw a map of the unclean realm's life cycles.
The old fucker can shove his vat greens up his ass like it was meant to be.
Precisely, Ayao says. He tilts to the side a bit when Mingchui leans in, and Mingchui pulls back to give him space. It's part of routine now, 6 months after Wang Yao first set foot onto the station, and Mingchui stopped expecting him to disappear with the next commercial flight out.
I'm aware it's a fake name, you know,
Mingchui told him one night, pleasantly buzzed on Auntie Sue's day-old vintage. Wang Yao threw him an unimpressed glance over the table before turning back to his paperwork. I'm honestly disappointed it took you this long to bring it up. Mingchui shrugged and took another sip, coughed until he felt like his lungs were going to exit through his throat, then said,
We don't make a habit of asking questions like that here.
What if I were a serial killer or something? Ayao asked, tapping his bottom lip with the end of his stylus. Mingchui absolutely did not watch the way he licked his lips before adding another note to whatever he was working on.
Hoisong would have gotten you already.
Ayao looked up. Hoisong can't keep a kitchen budget straight.
Hoisong has no interest in the kitchen budget,
Mingchui said with a grin. Anyway, Ayao says now, settling back into his usual straight-backed posture as soon as Mingchui draws back far enough. Investing into hydroponics this far out from the core would be economically rewarding. Import taxes, VAT production costs, cryo-freezing, so much credit for vegetables. He mutters, mostly to himself, as he leans in and adds a tab to the spreadsheet titled Export Options.
You think we're going to produce enough for that?
Mingchui says. Ayao shrugs. Not soon, but Outer Qinghe has had no planetside resources since Sunshot, and the other sects are taking advantage of it. The station is well located. There's a space on Deck 2B to expand hydroponics. Export would pay for technicians. One more year, maybe. Then we can think about it. Mingchui tries not to startle. Ayao said. He must have made a noise still, because Ayao turns back to look at him over his shoulder. What is it?
Nothing,
Mingchui says, and doesn't think about kissing him. He doesn't. Wang Yao is a liar. Wang Yao is running from something. Wang Yao will continue running one day once he is done with UCR-1669321QH and the adjoining asteroid and the remnants of the Nie family and Nie Mingchui himself. You think it's a bad idea? Ayao says. His eyebrows draw down and Mingchui fights the urge to smooth the line between them with his thumb.
No, he says. I just never considered the possibility.
Obviously not. Ayao turns back to his terminal, and Mingchui smiles, a little bit helpless.
I have to go look at the air filters on Deck 3 again, he says. You want to come with?
Ayao hums, considers the offer, then folds his terminal screen down. Might as well keep you from electrocuting yourself, he says, a small spark of his biting personality peeking through his usual polite veneer. It's a thinning veil, anyway. Mingchui catches him smirking sometimes, and it feels like something. It definitely feels like something.
Archive. Sort by date. Sort by relevance. Sort by author. Shocking! Sect leader's son involved in murder? Jin Zixuan, acting sect leader and heir to Lan Ling after his father's death, recently talked to several Lan Ling news outlets about the possibility of a close family member being involved in the gruesome murder of Jin Guangshan. Continued. He Mei, Ba Ling Blink.
If this had been an adventure story, a proper one, the swashbuckling kind, the kind with a charming hero and their equally charming love interest, and a minimum of 5 sex scenes, ranging from extremely vanilla to extremely awkward, Ming Chui would have kissed Ai Yao the minute they got stuck in the back storage cabin on Deck 4B. This isn't a proper adventure story. The back storage on 4B is nothing more than a flat rectangle 5 paces wide and 6 or so feet tall, a cramped closet shoved under the corridor floor. They were looking for recycler parts. They were looking for recycler parts, and Ai Yao was thinking out loud about utilizing the space for something hydroponics related. Potatoes, maybe. Ming Chui isn't quite sure. But the station got caught in a small asteroid storm, and gravity shorted out for a few minutes from the shaking, enough for some of the unsecured crates to dislodge. Once gravity reestablished itself, they found their way out blocked by a packaged stack of measure-cut titanium alloy space station hull patches. Then the lights went out. "Fuck," Ayao says. The curse is uncharacteristic enough that Ming Chui lurches closer before he can think better of it. They're both professionals. They both know what to do when stuck in a small space with finicky gravity. Stay on your ass, hold onto something sturdy, and wait for help. Make sure nothing sharp or pointy is loose. Check life support. Check oxygen levels. The checklist is logical, simple enough to follow, and has been ingrained into every spacer since they are old enough to walk. So they sit. Ming Chui calms Hui Song. It's fine. Everything is fine. It would even be comical a little. Except. Ming Chui doesn't ask Ai Yao whether he's okay. He doesn't ask him what's wrong. He doesn't say anything about how he drums his foot on the floor at an increasing pace or how he twitches sometimes, as if to stand and pace as he usually does when he's stressed. Were he with anybody else, Ming Chui would put his free hand on their shoulder or the back of their neck and start on a well-worn and well-loved anecdote everybody on the station has heard at least twice. Were he with anybody else, Ming Chui would remind them to breathe. If he wasn't sure that Ai Yao would stab him in his sleep for daring to call attention to any exposed weakness, he would.
"If this was an adventure story," Ming Chui says instead,
because he is an idiot, certified,
"we would be making out right now."
The expected retort doesn't come. Instead, Ai Yao goes still and quiet, as if trying to make himself into an invisible thing, and Ming Chui barely resists the urge to slap himself in the face.
"Or not," he continues, "because that would be highly unprofessional and dangerous. Imagine gravity shorting out again. You could lose teeth. Awful."
"You're rambling," Ai Yao says, and Ming Chui laughs. Ai Yao is still sitting up, stiff as a board, but his voice is only a little bit strained, which is a net win, all things considered. Ming Chui risks nudging him with his shoulder and is rewarded by a bristling huff.
"Hey," he says. "Are you?"
"I'm perfectly fine, thank you," Ai Yao cuts in, polite until the end, even when he is saying, very clearly, "back off." "How long until Hui Song and Zongchui get here?"
5 minutes.
5 minutes, Ai Yao repeats under his breath. His face lights up with the sharp, tepid glow from his screen when he nudges it awake to check the time. "Okay."
"Have I ever told you about the time Hui Song got his head stuck into the garbage chute on deck 1? Ayao gapes at him. Meng Chui grins. It was a dark and stormy night.
Ayao looks almost like his usual self when he scoffs and slaps Meng Chui's shoulder. Huaisong is much too smart to let something like that happen.
Meng Chui laughs even as he rubs his shoulder. You would think, he says, but you've never seen him lose his favorite brush in a fit of artistic pique.
It's a niggling gut sense of unease that drives Meng Chui to find him again later, once Huaisong and Zong Tui get them out from under 4B, and Ayao excuses himself immediately after.
I saw him slink into his cabin,
Nie Jia Ying tells Meng Chui over dinner. She frowns and pokes her greens with her chopsticks.
I'm pretty sure he had at least two bottles of Auntie Sue's bathtub juice with him.
I should probably check, Meng Chui says.
The med tech glances up at him.
Depending on the year, probably, she says. I don't want to end my shift dealing with alcohol poisoning. If Auntie gave him last year's batch.
Meng Chui hisses and picks up the last steamed bun, wraps it into a piece of flimsy and slides it into his pocket.
I'll be back, he says.
Nie Jia Ying waves at him with her chopsticks. If you don't send word in 20 minutes, I'll assemble a rescue party. Ayao's cabin is tucked away on a side corridor on the residential deck, only a few steps away from the back elevator. He requested it after 4 months of living out of Auntie Huifeng's spare room. It took Huaisong that long to wear down his resolve and convince him to accept the cabin's assignment, despite his concerns about rent and space and ventilation costs. Meng Chui himself carried one of his two containers of worldly possessions over on the day he moved in. It's quiet on this level now. The station is slowly spinning into night cycle, and this arm of Deck 3 is often abandoned at this time of day. Meng Chui stops to listen outside of Ayao's door for a minute, but no alarming noises are seeping through. Meng Chui knocks. There is no answer.
Ayao,
Meng Chui calls, then knocks again. This time he hears a crash from inside and the echo of shuffling footsteps. Has he ever seen Ayao shuffle? Meng Chui doesn't think so. Then the door slides open and Meng Chui is hit by the overwhelming smell of sweat and alcohol. Ayao blinks up at him. His eyes are bloodshot. Oh, he says, giving Meng Chui a measuring once-over before swaying backward, presumably to let him in. It's just you.
Yeah,
Meng Chui replies. He steps inside and hits the button to close the door behind him.
How much have you had?
What makes you think I had any? Ayao asks primly. He doesn't slur, to his credit, but Meng Yao notes his white-knuckled grip on the back of the chair, the way he clenches his jaw to stop himself from swaying. He isn't sure whether he should be concerned or impressed. Come to check on me? Ayao continues, his voice missing its usual warm, neutral lilt, and his accent sharpens from rounded central to something else. He sounds real this way, Meng Chui thinks, and the thought leaves a strange taste in his mouth. Ayao is the most tightly controlled person he has ever met. Seeing his iron grip slip makes something heavy turn in Meng Chui's stomach.
Just to check, he says. 4B was stressful for you. Nie Jia Ying told me about the bathtub juice.
This station is such a fucking village, Ayao mutters under his nose, and the curse is more alarming than any other sign of his distress Meng Chui has seen before.
Ayao,
he starts and steps closer. Ayao steps back with a wide-eyed, startled jerk.
Sorry.
Meng Chui stops advancing instantly, holding both his hands up in a placating gesture.
Sorry, I'll stop right here. Do you need anything? Do you want me to calm Medbay? Have you had any water?
I'm drunk, not dying, Ayao snaps,
Am I not allowed? Ming Chui frowns. He knows there's a difference. There lies a line between drinking and drinking, and the way Wang Yao looks right now cannot mean anything good. The place smells awful. There are big, wet patches under Ayao's arms where he's sweated through his shirt. His eyes are large and liquid and angry. He's shaking hard enough that even Ming Chui can see it.
Okay, he says. Okay, sit. I'm gonna get myself some water.
You don't have to babysit me, Ayao murmurs. But he sits down, which Ming Chui counts as a win.
Here, he says, sliding his water bottle across the table. Have some.
No, thank you. Ayao pushes the container back with remarkable finesse, considering. I would like to get blackout drunk, and drinking water is counterproductive to that goal.
Ming Chui nods. Years by Huaisang's side has taught him how to pick his battles. You want to talk about it?
Absolutely not, Ayao says. Then he pauses halfway through unscrewing the lid on the second bottle and gestures at the other drinking glass that's set upside down on the counter. Want some?
Ming Chui sighs, then nods. Ayao let him in. Ayao let him sit, and didn't throw him out when Ming Chui offered him water. Ayao is measuring a perfect two-finger portion of Ante Sue's tooth-stripping alcohol into a water glass like it's expensive wine, and puts it down in front of Ming Chui without sloshing any onto the table.
Bottoms up, he says, in the thickest Yunmeng accent Ming Chui has ever heard, and throws back his own drink like it's nobody's business.
Ming Chui sighs, scowls at the bottle on the table between them, and follows suit. It's not until later, much later, hours later maybe, that he can finally maneuver Ayao into bed. He's upright, but his eyes have gone hazy and unfocused as time passed, and the portions he poured into their glasses became less exact. He doesn't protest when Ming Chui stands and rounds the table, not even when he reaches around him and hoists him up.
Ah, he says into Ming Chui's neck. His voice is low, a little resigned. It's time, then.
Time for bed, Ming Chui says. He turns around carefully and nudges the door that leads to the sleeping nook with his foot. It's only a flimsy sliding thing that rattles as it's nudged into its socket. Ming Chui edges in and lowers Ayao onto the mattress.
Song Chu,
Wang Yao mutters then. Ming Chui watches, frozen in place, still leaning over the bed, as Ayao slides his hand down his front and pulls his shirt up.
What are you?
I'll be good this time, I promise.
Ayao says, eyes still closed.
I'll be good for Zongju. You don't need to... You don't...
Ayao.
Ming Chui catches Wang Yao's wrists and pulls them away from the fastening of his trousers.
What are you doing?
Wang Yao opens his eyes. Even though he's looking directly at him, Ming Chui is sure Ayao is seeing somebody else.
Serving my sect leader,
Ayao says. His accent is back to its deliberate, educated, central lilt. Ming Chui really, really wants to punch something.
All right, Ayao,
he says instead, putting Wang Yao's hands down onto the bed and tugging the blanket over him.
You sleep now, okay? We can talk in the morning.
You're leaving,
Ayao says, and the urge to kick something returns to Ming Chui tenfold at how much lighter he sounds. His relief bubbles to the surface, out from hiding like everything real that makes up Wang Yao. This beautiful, fragile liar fate brought him on a commercial shuttle and forgot to take back.
I'll be just outside, Ming Chui says.
He does not reach to smooth the hair off Ayao's sweaty forehead, no matter how much he wants to.
Call if you need anything.
Ming Chui pulls the door half shut behind him, sits down by their abandoned glasses on the table, and buries his face in his hands. He doesn't sleep. He listens to Ayao shudder and whimper his way through something that sounds like a nightmare. He doesn't sleep. At shift change, he puts a glass of water on the little cabinet beside Ayao's bed, starts the coffee machine, and leaves before Ayao wakes up. He finds Hoisang in his office, feet up on Ming Tui's desk.
"Have you found out everything about him already?"
Ming Tui asks. Hoisang arches a single eyebrow at him. "You told me not to."
"I'm asking you to now,"
Ming Tui says, resigned. Hoisang takes his feet off the desk. "Oh," he says, leaning in so his chin rests on his steepled fingers. "Interesting. Any reason why?"
"He called me Zongchu,"
Ming Tui replies.
"He was very drunk."
Hoisang's eyes widen. "Zongchu? Like, you're what, fucking Wen Rohan or something? Are you sure?" Ming Tui sighs, drops down into the other chair, and nods.
"Yeah, I'm sure."
Hoisang hums, pulls the keyboard of Ming Tui's desk terminal closer to him, and begins typing. "Let me see what I can dig up."
"I trust you,"
Ming Tui says, then puts his head down onto the desk and promptly falls asleep. What is there to say about the strays of Outer Qinghe? This corner of Nie family territory is nothing but bare rock, asteroids mined for base minerals, ice, and not much else. There's nothing here. No money, no planets, no people. Not much of anything, really. When Ming Chui's father lost most of his wealth and territory to Lan Leng, the family moved here with one goal: survive until tomorrow. So they did. They do. Outer Qinghe is not any less barren, and the Nie are not any less diminished. But the stations and live ships and shuttle stacks are home in all the way that matters, and life is life anywhere in the vast reaches of space. Home is a complex thing. Ming Chui and Hoisang are holding theirs together tooth and nail, inch by inch of second-hand hull patches and scavenged tech. What is there to say about the strays of Outer Qinghe, then? They are looking for something, yes. Many of them are running. They bring their boxes of clothes and years of experience doing this job or that. They bring their shuttles of parts and seeds and patterns and recipes from all the corners of the galaxy. Outer Qinghe doesn't ask. Its laws are simple enough. It is home, if one is in such need of a thing. "If you found out something terrible about me," Meng Yao says 2 days later, "what would you do?" Ming Chui fumbles with his shears and narrowly avoids cutting off an entire stalk of green beans.
"What?"
"I know you found me," Meng Yao says. "I have alerts set up, and Hoisang wasn't trying to be subtle."
"Oh."
Ming Chui pockets the shears and pulls a thread of biodegradable twine from the packet. Hydroponics is humming quietly around them. The sprinkler's cleaned and waiting to be started as soon as they're done binding fresh growth onto the mounts. Ayao likes this kind of work. Ming Chui likes this kind of work when he gets to do it in Ayao's company. "Nothing to say?" Ayao asks him. And when Ming Chui looks up, he finds the man staring expectantly at him from across the bench.
"What do you want me to say? I knew Wang Yao wasn't your real name. I knew your papers were altered. It never changed anything."
"Except something did change," Ayao says, "or you wouldn't have asked Hoisang to start digging." Ming Chui draws a soft, bright green vine to the mount and winds the twine around it gently.
"I was worried about you after 4B.
Meng Yao stiffens. Ming Chui reaches for the next vine and continues.
Does it matter, though? Wang Yao or Meng Yao, you are here.
If it doesn't matter, then why did you look?
You called me Zongchu when I carried you to bed.
Meng Yao isn't clumsy enough to drop his own shears, but his violent twitch is almost worse. Meng Chui looks up. Meng Yao is gripping the edge of the bench tightly enough that his knuckles go white. His forehead is a little sweaty.
Auntie's stuff sure is something,
Ai Yao mutters under his breath, and Meng Chui puts the box of twine down.
Tea?
He asks. Ai Yao looks up, eyes wide and a little helpless, and Meng Chui can't help his relieved sigh at his tiny, contained nod.
I'm not angry, Ai Yao says later, socked feet tucked under himself where he sits on the beat-up sofa on the observation deck. The circular window overhead shows a slice of star-bright Qinghe space. I expected you to look. I was waiting for it. Except...
He trails off, which is unusual for how he always measures each word that comes out of his mouth carefully. Meng Chui watches him. There are only inches between them, where they sit. It isn't new, not this. Taking tea with Ai Yao under the stars at all hours of the day has become an ordinary thing. But Ai Yao looks especially vulnerable today. Meng Chui watches his bony wrists poking out from under two short sleeves, tilting as he brings the mug to his lips to inhale the scent of tea.
What do you think the most terrible thing I ever did was?
He asks, softly. Meng Chui shifts.
I don't know. Tax fraud?
Ai Yao laughs, an unexpectedly bright sound in the melancholy quiet.
What am I to do about you?
He says, a question that requires no answer. Meng Chui stays still, very still, as Ai Yao shifts his balance to kneel up straight, depositing his mug on the floor before he shuffles closer.
I will kiss you now, he says, but doesn't move.
Meng Chui takes a deep breath.
Okay,
he says.
Whatever you want.
You mean it, says Meng Yao.
It's not a question. He says it like it's something impossible, like Meng Chui is surprising him somehow and he isn't sure what to do about it. Before Meng Chui can think of something to say, Meng Yao leans in and kisses him softly on the mouth. Later. It has to be later. The lights are dimmed for night cycle and the corridors are empty when they move up to Meng Chui's cabin. Ai Yao drops to his knees in front of Meng Chui and reaches to open his trousers. Meng Chui catches his hands.
Wait,
he says.
Wait, don't rush.
Ai Yao stares at him, wide-eyed, when Meng Chui scoops him up from the floor and carries him to bed, when Meng Chui kneels above him and opens his shirt to kiss his neck. His breathing grows uneven with each touch of Meng Chui's lips. Meng Chui smiles into his collarbones and noses down Ai Yao's jawline. The skin under his ear is soft and smells faintly of tart sweet flowers.
What are you doing? Ai Yao asks.
Meng Chui kisses him.
What does it look like?
I don't know.
Meng Yao kisses back with teeth, and Meng Chui smiles as he pulls back to nuzzle against his cheek.
Whatever you want,
Meng Chui says.
I meant it. This or more or nothing at all.
But you want me,
says Ai Yao. His eyebrows are drawn, and Meng Chui smooths the little furrow out with his thumb like he wanted to months ago.
I don't understand.
Do you want to get off?
Meng Chui asks instead of a reply. Ai Yao nods.
Okay.
Kissing him is easy. Licking at the soft skin by the hinge of his jaw is easy. Meng Chui drags his mouth down Ai Yao's collarbone and follows the curve of his body with his tongue, kisses his nipples one by one. Ai Yao gasps and squirms when he licks him. He exhales deeply when Ming Tuei draws his palm down his torso, opens his trousers, and takes him into his mouth as he is, half hard and not ready at all. It's a thing of beauty to make Ayao arch off the bed in pleasure. His hands tightening in Ming Tuei's hair fills him with a soft, buzzing warmth that spreads from his chest all the way down to his toes. Ayao hardens in his mouth, and Ming Tuei sucks him until he twists one of his hands in his hair and the other one in the sheets and comes down Ming Tuei's throat, his voice choked and wet as he cries out at each lap of Ming Tuei's tongue against his slit.
"I..."
he starts when Ming Tuei lifts and leans his forehead against his, but Ming Tuei quiets him with a kiss.
"Quiet,"
he says.
"Quiet, I have you."
"But what about..."
Ming Tuei shakes his head.
"Do you want to?"
Ayao opens his mouth and then closes it again.
"I..."
"Do you want to watch?"
Ming Tuei asks, and Ayao's eyes narrow. He bites his bottom lip and nods.
"Stay there,"
he says, putting his hands on Ming Tuei's hips as he hovers above him. "Just like that." Ming Tuei rubs his nose against Ayao's, then takes his cock in hand. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all. Ming Tuei comes with Ayao's lips on his temple and his hand on his balls, stroking gently. It feels more profound than it ought to be. "If you found out something terrible about me," Meng Yao says later, enveloped in darkness and Ming Tuei's arms, "what would you do?"
"Have you done something terrible?"
Ming Tuei asks. Ayao shifts and exhales deeply.
"I stayed here,"
he says under his breath, quiet as if not meant for Ming Tuei to hear at all. "That is bad enough."
Archive. Encrypted message. Enter password. ... Zixuan. Everything is in place. Qinsu did her part. Mo Zhuanyu is off-planet like he promised. Take your wife and go. Give me 2 weeks and everything will be done. You know what to do after. Good luck.
Remind me of a former love that I once knew, and you carry a little piece with you.
Loop. Sent via Lanling Detention Communication Network, CO Lanling Department of Justice. This message and consequent replies are not private and will be processed by Lanling Department of Justice. The content of any message and consequent replies may be used in a court of law. This message is encrypted. Ming Tuei. Playback paused. Playback start. Read transcript.
Is it really such an unbelievable thing? Ming Tuei asks himself. No, it isn't. I'm sorry, Ayao says before he kisses him. I mean it. I do. What does that mean? Ming Tuei wants to ask. Why are you sorry? The Jin officer who debriefs him after Ayao is taken away doesn't give him any information he actually wants to know. He's wanted as a suspect in a murder case, the young man tells him for the fifth time, implacable even faced with Huaisang's relentless questions. I'm not at liberty to discuss anything else.
Can we get in touch with him?
Ming Tuei asks. What for, he doesn't know.
If you found out something terrible about me.
There will be a trial. Huaisang sits down heavily. Ming Tuei doesn't look up.
Did you know?
he asks, staring at the tangle of yarn he started unpicking an hour ago. He pulls at a thread, and on the other side of the pile, a knot tightens. Hoisong hums.
I was getting close, he says. I knew Meng Yao was only the tip of the iceberg. I didn't imagine he was one of Jingguangshan's side babies, though.
And Sunshot?
I didn't have the slightest idea until now. You want to see?
Meng Chui nods. Hoisong fishes his hand terminal out of his pocket and thumbs it on. The browser tab opens at a magazine article.
The mission that toppled the sun, Jin Operation revealed. Calling it an operation is very generous, Hoisong says, considering it was Meng Yao who pulled off the whole thing pretty much by himself. I have no idea how he managed it. His father took him into the family after, for all the good that did him, and arranged a betrothal with some woman, which ended very shortly before the old fucker was found dead.
War hero,
mutters Meng Chui, scrolling down the article. Meng Chui recognizes Jing Guangshan's hand in it, the careful way information is given and withheld, the focus on Jin intelligence, Wen Rohan's encroaching madness, the careful obfuscation of the operation's parameters. The article talks about Nightless City. It avoids any mention of the actions Jing Guangyao had to take to preserve his position on it.
I served on a Sunshot warship, he recalls Ayao's voice,
filtered through the station's crackling comm network. I lived on a derelict Wen shuttle for a while.
I make do.
He did. He made do.
He was on the Nightless City for like 9 months, Hoisong continues. He hid Lanchan's brother on a shuttle for ages and may have killed Wen Rohan himself. I don't know. My sources aren't exactly firsthand. Getting in touch with Lanchan was hard enough.
Yun Meng boy?
Meng Chui asks hoarsely, and Hoisong nods.
His brother and Han Guanjun are in some sort of a thing, he says.
It's complicated. But the point is, Meng Chui shakes his head and puts a hand on Hoisong's arm.
It doesn't matter, Didi. Thank you.
Hoisong narrows his eyes.
I think it does, he says. He lied to you. He's a Jin and some sort of accountant war hero or something, and he lived here for months? Aren't you curious?
No.
Dogga,
Hoisong says gently. And Meng Chui hands the terminal back to him. He doesn't look at the knitting basket in the corner. He doesn't look at the sweater draped over it, almost finished, in gray and green Qinghe colors.
I'm fine, he says.
Is it really such an unbelievable thing? No, it isn't. Meng Chui knows it well. They all knew Wang Yao was a liar. They all knew he was running from something.
If you found out something terrible about me.
Sent via Lanling Detention Communication Network, CO, Lanling Department of Justice. This message and consequent replies are not private and will be processed by Lanling Department of Justice. The content of any message and consequent replies may be used in the court of law. This message is encrypted. Meng Chui, would you believe me if I said I was going to tell you myself? Or if I said, it's not what it looks like, or it's more complicated than that? Hoisong is very thorough. Tell him to get in touch with Wei Wuxian if he needs more information. I'm not asking you to trust me. I will spare you dramatic statements such as, I know it will be hard for you to do so after all this, and the like. You never trusted me, not from the very beginning, and it was the right thing to do. What Hoisong cannot find out, I suppose I will have to tell you in person. I will come back. I will come back if you let me, that is. What a very strange place I find myself in. Will you let me come back, Meng Chui? I never thought I would ask permission, and I never thought I would be afraid of the answer either. Meng Chui, I wish I had more time.
I wish I was braver while I was still home, but that's neither here nor there. I will talk to you once I'm out. P.S. If you're on a hunt for an accountant while I'm gone, do not hire Sui Chongmei. M.Y. Archive. Sort by date. Sort by relevance. Sort by author. Man found guilty in Jingguangshan's murder. In a surprising twist to the case that has been the talk of the galaxy for a little over a year, a man was finally convicted for the premeditated murder of Lanling sect leader Jingguangshan. Sect leader Jin's nephew, Jin Zixun, has reportedly been harboring resentment towards his uncle. Continued. Humei Baling Blink. Illegitimate son speaks out. Jingguangyao framed. Jinlin Tai. Past suspect Jingguangyao spoke up about how he managed to evade the year-long manhunt that started shortly after Lanling sect leader Jingguangshan was found dead in a residential area. Jin Zixun, Jingguangyao's cousin, was convicted last week at the climax of a controversial trial. Continued. Jin Xinyuan, the Golden Carp. Posthumous corruption allegations. The children speak out. Yunping. Plaintiffs claiming to be deceased sect leader Jingguangshan's illegitimate children filed a class action lawsuit against the Lanling estate today. They are suing the estate for child neglect and missing child maintenance. Recently appointed sect leader Jin Zixuan hopes to settle with his half-siblings after talks of financial restitution. Hua Chaoxie, Yunmeng Report.
The boy comes to UCR 166-9321QH with the night shuttle. Ming Chui is waiting for him at the gate. So, Ayao starts, which is the only thing Ming Chui allows him to say before he scoops him into a hug that could asphyxiate a lesser man. Ayao is not a lesser man. That wasn't what I expected, he says, voice hoarse when he emerges from being pressed into Ming Chui's shoulder. I was counting on at least a few cutting remarks. Definitely an accusation, a lecture, a restraining order, perhaps.
You idiot, Ming Chui says. I'm on half a mind to break your leg.
That's more like it. Spent much time with Jiang Wanyin lately. Ming Chui scoffs.
There's tea in the kitchen.
Ayao pulls back from him and looks up, eyes serious. There were reasons, he says. Very good ones. Ming Chui rolls his eyes.
No doubt. Are you coming? Dinner will be on you. I hear you can afford it.
Meng Yao clears his throat and picks up his shoulder bag from where he dropped it. Huaisong is still too lazy to properly organize the kitchen budget, is he? He asks, voice tight and a little bit wet. Ming Chui clears his throat.
You still want to recommend me an accountant?
Is the job still available? Ming Chui absolutely does not shuffle his feet.
I could never find anybody who could use conditional formatting just the way I like it.
Ayao opens his mouth, closes it, opens it again. Ming Chui laughs as he pulls him into a gentle headlock and starts towing him towards the kitchen. Ayao wrestles himself out of his grip, hoists his bag up onto one shoulder, and tucks his hand into Ming Chui's back pocket. You still haven't fixed the temperature regulator, I see, he says. Ming Chui smiles.
I made you just the thing. It's in your room.
Then, quiet and a little hoarse, he adds,
Welcome home.
I can't cut any language open wide enough to give you this story. Adira Bennett. The End. Depends what you qualify as friends. You remind me of a few of my famous friends. Well, that all depends what you qualify as friends. Take a chance, take your shoes off, dance in the rain. And I was splashing around in the new spread all over town. I'm not complaining that it's raining, I'm just saying that I like it a lot more than you think. If the sun would come out and sing with me, you remind me of a few of my famous friends. Well, that all depends what you qualify as friends. You remind me of a few of my famous friends. Well, that all depends what you qualify as friends. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.